can't say on the radio podcast.
Welcome back to the podcast. I say that assuming you listed the last one, or any of them for that matter.
Yep.
If you're brand new, then welcome. Then you don't need the recap. But if you've been around for a little bit, this is episode number two for you, Laura, now being a part of the show. I think we're done with icebreakers. And I say this because I think we can learn so much, as we have over the last week and a half, just in general conversation.
Yeah, I'm guiltily an oversharer anyway, so.
It's yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
You're in the perfect job for this.
About 40 seconds on your Instagram, you need to know, or you know everything you need to know.
Yeah.
Dogs, fun, chill, laid back, farm girl. What else?
Chocolate.
Mm-hmm. Brazilian boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Outdoors. A lot of outdoors, which I respect.
Yeah, like every
day. Pretty much wraps me up. That's all there is to me.
All right.
Yeah.
Very one side.
And today we celebrate, now as we record this on Thursday the 28th, National Burger Day. So I will be doing burgers tonight. Homemade, whole bit. I'm just debating because the kids have asked. And if you've gone into any of the like really cool or boutique burger places, you can get like the Kraft Dinner burger, right?
Oh,
where they put
Kraft
cheese and all that. I've never done peanut butter on a burger.
I've done that. Just tried it.
Is it good?
It's good. It's not something I'll do every time. I get it. Mm-hmm. It's a little added protein.
I'm at a loss on what kind of burger to do. So I'll start with we go brioche bun.
Yeah, good call.
Nice, delicious, little bit of a sweet bun.
Mm-hmm.
Homemade burgers, because they're not that hard to do. And not a complex recipe, like a little bit of... I actually put a bruschetta mix in there to offer a little bit of like the salt and some of the desired flavors.
Mm.
But I don't want it too overpowering. A little dash of garlic in there, bingo, bango, salt, pepper, and that's the mix. But the toppings. And the reason why I'm getting into this whole burger week there, National Burger Day, pardon me, is because we're going to talk about a new feature that we've launched, all thanks to COVID. So we're gonna get there. But since Laura has this skill, so you'll get to know more about Laura. You could take anything in the pantry and some items in the fridge and make a meal and or a collection of snacks, like a food train.
Yep.
Yes, exactly.
Huh?
I think it's because of my years of being, one, a sandwich artist at Subway, and two, I worked in the back at McDonald's, so Burger Day, kind of my thing.
Yes.
Nice, nice.
So where do I go? So I've got... Everybody in the house will eat a burger. They will definitely some form of cheese. Now, I'm the only one that'll enjoy blue cheese, so I'll go get a little bit of blue cheese crumble.
Blue cheese and barbecue sauce is my go-to lately. I love it.
Have you tried avocado on a burger?
Yep.
Yep. Adds a definition of creaminess that's very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to have something, so this is a discontinued burger at McDonald's, but it's called the Big Extra. And that was combo of ketchup and mayo together. And that's a beautiful combo. I would suggest it on any burger. Mm-hmm. It's very good. And they have the tiny chopped onions on that one instead of the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
You can make yourself a Big Extra.
See, but I don't love onions unless they're cooked.
Yeah, those ones, well, I guess the ones at McDonald's were so saturated in the water you had to thaw them in that they were kind of like cooked onions. But you could do that. You could also add chips for extra crunch. I'm a big crunch fan. If you never put chips on a burger.
Yeah. Okay, what kind? That's the ask.
Well, it depends what flavor you're doing for the base of your burger. You going like
chips.
Savory? Whoa, Benny.
Ben.
Save yourself the ketchup. Actually, add the ketchup
Ketchup chips. Yeah. I like
that's
this.
That's bold. Yeah. But wait, if you're going to do ketchup chips, I'm sorry. Even though Lay's is the best ketchup chip, you can't go for those because they're not quite thick enough to outpower the crunch of a burger.
PC loads of flavor.
Yeah, the loads of ketchup.
Oh, PC anything, you're going to be fine.
Yep.
Okay, I like this. This is a good start. And I may do your sweet potato fries.
Oh,
yeah. Because you bake. I'll just fire up some oil on the top of the stove and get after it and do my best version.
How do you do that? You just shake it? Like you just keep shaking them around in there?
So it's shoestring fries, and I just have like a large... the one we have is like almost like a flat spoon. It arcs enough as a spoon. You can like pasta noodles and such.
Okay.
But I use that. So I get about 3-4 inches of oil and I drop those fries in and get it hot as all hell. And then I just every once in a while I go and I just stir them around a little bit just so they float a bit in the oil.
Mm.
That's it.
And they
taste just close to a McDonald's fry. It's proprietary. And I feel like they've got their own special salt that comes from another planet.
Oh, it comes in a giant shaker jug the size of your head. That's what's so special about it. There's just so much.
But
so
you can't replicate that, but that's our best attempt. And it's pretty darn good because I still like a little of the crunch of the fries and I like the taste of the oil.
Yeah, and here's a fun fact about McDonald's too. If you actually request no salt on the fries, they make a whole batch of McDonald's fries with no salt.
Really?
Yeah. It's made to order.
I feel sometimes I get those because you're all excited and you get into them and there's no salt.
Yeah, like what's a fry without salt? You definitely have to put salt. My secret for sweet potato fries is Montreal chicken spice.
Oh.
Which is very salty on its own. You don't need to add any extra. Just douse it.
That's a good one. You mentioned that yesterday. I gotta write this down. But I'm locking
taking
it in.
Notes right now.
Yeah, actually is.
And I'm very proud of myself because I live with a roommate as well. He's also my friend. And he is the pickiest eater. He'll never try any food that someone else has cooked. And yesterday he comes upstairs. I'm making more sweet potato fries. He's like, are you cooking chicken? I'm like, no, but I'm using chicken spice. And he's like, what are you making? And he actually tried some without me pestering. And the amount of times I've been like, hey, do you want to try this? And he goes, no, maybe later. And then I don't see him for the rest of the day.
Wow.
And he loved them. That's a secret to sweet potato fries.
That's a good, good endorsement there.
Absolutely. And they're hard. They're a hard fry to make. Because you do a takeout sweet potato fry, always soggy.
You can't
keep it crispy. Absolutely. Okay, so we've got that. So there's are you going to do burgers tonight? You don't know. To be determined.
I think because we had ground turkey actually from Costco because the pack's so cheap.
Yeah.
But we just cook it like on its own. Maybe I'll do like a taco salad type of deal.
Ooh.
And for that to get extra protein in, homegirl loves her munchies, all right? I use, and I know, Jeff, you think it tastes like cement, but plain Greek yogurt, I use it to substitute anything that has sour cream.
Huh.
Just as thick. Like also no flavor, but just Greek yogurt, you get so much protein out of it that it's like, yeah.
Interesting.
That could be a thing. You could just make a taco burger.
You could put taco shells on the burger instead of chips.
Yep. You could crunch that up. You could put salsa on there. Yeah. You could put cheese.
Yeah. Tex-Mex cheese.
You could do, you could make yourself some guacamole. You could do guac. You absolutely could do it.
You could do everything.
Oh, man, I'm so excited.
I know, for National Burger Day.
Nobody.
Have you thought what you're going to do, or are you just ripping off some of these ideas?
I'm taking all the ideas. Blue cheese and barbecue was where I was heading to begin with. I might throw some female bacon on that, too.
I was just going to say bacon and barbecue?
Yeah.
Okay,
that might be the case.
There's some options. We had a wonderful conversation about being a picky eater, and it doesn't shock many that the results are in, and that the reason why the vast majority of adults are still picky eaters is based on how you were raised, how your parents, how that design looked, how much are they forcing you to eat something, or the big thing that, and I was like, oh, I've done this a few times. Two more bites, we'll have some ice cream. Two more bites, we'll go get whatever as a snack. That is apparently the worst thing to do because they said it ends up creating thousands of negative experiences surrounding those foods, and even rewarding them could backfire because then they'll start hating ice cream because like, oh, great, ice cream if I eat this garbage food.
That's almost a win, though, because I was going to say, like, if you start rewarding yourself with junk food at the same time, you could end up being that person that's just like, oh, well, like, you know, I'm trying to get more fit. Let's say I can fit into those jeans. Let's have a pail of ice cream to celebrate. I'm definitely that person, for the record. I'm like, oh, I see that scale. Okay, let's go.
I woke up yesterday morning and I was like, you know what? Today's the day. I did like 25 sit-ups or something like that before coming into work.
Did you?
Yeah.
Before?
Before coming into work, yeah. I had like 5 extra minutes. I was like, all right, I'll crush this out. And then I ate an entire pizza last night. I don't know if that balances out, but it evens it out a little bit.
Okay, let me ask. A medium or a large?
It was a medium. It was just a medium and only pepperoni. But I also ate all the crust of all the kids.
That's amazing. That's impressive.
Did you take it up a notch with some dipping sauce?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, you don't just eat crust. Come on. Kind of fun person are you if you just eat the crust and no dip? Like, I don't want to talk to you.
My man. But what ended up happening at it, because we talked about dishes that, like, forever I wouldn't have fish, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, asparagus. Now, as an adult, discovering how lovely and delicious it can be with bacon and cheese and all these other options that just, I don't know why. Because I had the conversation with my mom the other day. I was like, so rewind this back. Let's get the tape out. Rewind the tape back. When you made Brussels sprouts, the best thing you could come up with, I'm going to boil them.
Here's to maybe give your mom some credit.
Yeah.
I'm only making delicious food because we have time right now. Because we're in the middle of a pandemic and we're at home.
Sure, sure.
When it's back before this, the kids had something Monday through Thursday in the afternoon after school. They would have something, whether it's swimming, dance, gymnastics, whatever. There was no time to make delicious food. So they had a lot of pierogies because they just came out of the freezer into the frying pan.
Yep.
And there's a lot of craft dinner, a lot of that sort of thing. We just don't have time to make that delicious meal.
I see your 2020 point. I counter it with growing up in the 90s. My dad was a truck driver for a while, and then my mom worked at the Cooperators. So they one of them was around to cook.
Okay.
But then they owned a restaurant, and the food was terrible.
I can't help it.
Again, what did I tell you about that? Like, oh, the Thursday special was like, it's like steak on a bun, and it was a hamburger patty on one slice of white, well, homemade bread with gravy on it, side of fries.
No one
ever opted to the salad, and then some veg. It'd be usually a mixed medley of like chopped up carrots, corn, whatever, peas in there.
And instead of a hamburger, they'd call it a hot hamburger, right?
Yep.
Hot hamburger.
You're like,
so
what? Or a hamburger steak. I'm like, that's nothing close to a steak. That is definitely not a steak. And so that to that point, like the Brussels sprouts, my mom was like, well, they're always delicious. They didn't even put butter on them. They just boiled them.
Oh, my goodness.
There was no salt. There was no butter. Nothing. So I was at a loss of like why it was just so garbage. And then I made that dish once, but I said, listen, here's how you do Brussels sprouts. I did garlic. I did bacon. I did some onion in there. It was mind-blowingly delicious. Like my parents were mucking away. I was like, how hard was that?
Yeah.
Honestly. Yeah. Brussels sprouts are cheap to buy. You can buy a whole bag for $4, a pound of bacon. Keep an eye when it's on sale for $2.99 or $3.99. And then who doesn't have garlic powder? It's a few bucks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's an easy way to upgrade it. And then we talked about, and this is the best go-to, and then we'll tell you about this cool new thing that's forthcoming. So there's the killer asparagus recipe. We've tried. Have you done it yet, Laura?
I haven't done it yet, but it sounds so good.
So it's on the list. And but it's a little finicky because to roll prosciutto, it wants to stick. It's a big pain in the ass. But what it is so you've got, you start with your base of asparagus. You get yourself just a brick of cream cheese. Let it sit out for an hour or two where it's almost soft like butter. And then you just roll that on the prosciutto and then roll up the asparagus in that prosciutto. You can put it on the barbecue or you can throw it in the oven 15, maybe 20 minutes until you see it starting to get the once the meat gets a little crispy, then you know the asparagus is done and it's delicious. A little bit of olive oil will help crisp it up, but that's it. That's it. And it's
like
so
drooling.
Good. Yeah, because there's so much salt in the prosciutto. It's amazing. My kids, same as Benny, when Benny talked about it, my kids are all over, like fighting over having more of that. Yeah.
We all, the first time we did it, we figured each kid would still only have like one spear of asparagus because that's all they would ever have anyways. Mm-hmm. So it's like backstage Sarah and I each got like five spears, six spears. The kids each got one. And I was dummying mine. And then both kids wanted more. Like, sorry, bro. I just, leave them wanting more. That's the way.
I do the whole bundle.
Because
we want leftovers.
Oh, yeah.
The whole batch.
There's no such thing as leftovers. It's the thing. If there was 30 left over, I would keep eating them.
And why not?
Yeah.
And why not? Okay, so a little bit of salt in the prosciutto. Otherwise, they're crazy healthy for you. They're good for you.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So out of that conversation, we ended up getting a text where, because Laura has that awesome skill of anything to make something, and Benny, being our boy Benny, is cooking with Laura, drinking with Benny.
Love it.
Done.
I don't know what my part's going to be. Maybe I'll just be the host.
It.
I'll rove in between. I'll eat and drink.
Yeah,
be like...
Yeah.
It'll be Cooking with Laura, Drinking with Benny, hosted by Jeff Kelly. And
that,
all I do is, all right, Laura, what are we making today?
Off to you.
There she goes to that. All right, Laura, thanks for that. Ben, over to you.
You know what? It sounds like a dream show. I'm sure it's coming to Crave TV very soon.
Yes.
We have to pitch it.
Okay.
I don't see why we shouldn't.
I know people.
Can we? Is there a little bit of a budget on that to help pay for some groceries and to pay for some booze and mix?
I would
absolutely.
Certainly hope so, yeah.
We'll put it on our rider.
And we could absolutely shoot it in this whole quarantine world because you two could do your parts. And then before we edit it together, I could see and then I go, okay, here's the throws I need to do to get Laura into a segment or two or to bridge between it. I may have 19 seconds of screen time, but it's all we need because you're the stars.
Yeah, I already have like, and we're going to do this. And my first challenge is going to be Benny's favorite thing to eat, bacon dippers. and I figured it out. I've already been brainstorming this. I'm going to do for every one of these challenges.
Yeah.
I will take one ingredient and I will like do master. Is it Master Chef or whatever the one where you have to have the one ingredient in like a starter, a main and a dessert.
Right.
I will do that with bacon dippers this weekend.
Fantastic.
That is a Guinness guarantee.
Now you are taking. Because we have a case of expired.
We tried them yesterday.
They're still good.
Yeah, they expired a year ago in March, but they were still good.
Now
they were still their standard. Like they were.
They taste the same as a fresh batch.
Yes.
And I'm fairly certain there's a difference between expired and best before. I think it's best before. Is that box still behind you?
Sure is.
Does it say best before?
Yes, it does.
That means they're still fine for human consumption.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Fair game.
I honestly can't wait. I don't know what dish you're doing. What TV show was I can't recall the TV show, but someone put Ritz crackers in the meatloaf, and I went, that's the crunch that I'm missing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You can put a lot of different crackers in meatloaf or hamburgers if you're going to be doing that.
Yeah, yeah. It's, well, it's binder. It's not really, you don't get much of a crunch out of it.
No.
It kind of boils, like the grease makes
it binding.
Soft, but it's a binder. Yeah.
Oh, better than breadcrumbs. They're boring. I like this. I'm pretty pumped for this. And episode one is going to be cool. But yeah, why not on Crave?
Let's do it.
It's a property piece. We get a little budget. You guys, you, Laura could get a custom apron. Benny, you could have an apron too. You'll need it as a mixologist.
Can I get a bar?
Yes. We're going to buy you a bar.
Perfect. Sold.
You'll need a light that says open or always on or whatever.
Okay.
Then Laura's going to need a new Wolf Range to cook on.
Yep.
It's only definitely. $9,000. You're fine.
I don't know what a Wolf Range is, but I like it.
A Wolf Range is it's the Mercedes-Benz of stoves, cooktops.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
It's the one you see
that.
Red knobs. If you ever watch like a movie and it's in like a rich person's house, you'll see the knobs on the dials on the front of the stove. If they're red, that's a Wolf.
Oh, I'm going to have to Instagram this later because it sounds amazing. And in my cooking fashion, this is a problem, actually. Maybe you can be the person that cleans up, Jeff, because I am, I love cooking, but I am a slob in the kitchen and I hate cleaning it up.
Really?
That's the magic of TV. You just dump it all, keep just throwing it into the sink and it'll figure itself out.
You just pop out the done recipe out of the oven after 2 seconds. Yeah. Where did this come from?
It is. And see, that's the unfortunate part. If it wasn't quarantine, I'd head to your house, I'd do some dishes, do some cleanup, get some extra footage, some B-roll, I think they call it in the industry. But not the case, not allowed. We've got our dividers between us here. Keeping everybody safe.
Definitely safe.
With the takeout window holes in the front. But it'd be right on theme. You could pass the dish through to Benny to try.
Just like in prison.
Just like, yeah, exactly. It is like
a prison. Put it on a tray and slide it right through the little hole.
The setup we have here in studio, it's like we are all in a studio together. It's on one big desk, but it's basically like see-through cubicles with little jail holes to pass things to each other.
It's like little glory holes.
Depends on how good the food is, really. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So, no, we're super pumped for this. There could be a lot there. We have to make a list of, like, episode one. We know what that's going to be. Mm-hmm. And then, you know what it'll do? I think it'd be good for a brainstorm idea. Either people can text, comment, whatever, after hearing the podcast. You can contact us through any form of socials with a suggestion. But otherwise, I'm going to do this weekend. I'll clean because it needs to get done because the kids have like their snack cupboard. It's now they put boxes into where the spices are. So I need to put it back. I'll go, all right, here's what we have. I'll take some pictures. We'll make a little running list. Mm-hmm. Then Laura can go, okay, I can work with that. Or nope, there's nothing that goes with that. But I'm excited for this.
I can work with everything. I just want to make that clear. I will turn everything into something delicious.
Like,
it's amazing.
Unless it's pasta, just because I don't like pasta. That doesn't count.
Can we just touch on the don't enjoy pasta part?
It's a texture thing. So how can I make something I don't like taste good?
True.
I can make pasta with cauliflower. Like the flavoring's delicious. Pasta sauce, good. It's like meaty sauce. How can you go wrong with that? I can do that, but it's going to be on like potatoes or something that's not pasta.
Wow. I'm at a loss because I have not met a person that just doesn't enjoy pasta. For like as a kid, that's the easy go-to. If they're not into any sort of meat, it's pasta palooza.
Nope. I think it's because my mom loves pasta and my best friend's parents also love pasta, and I remember forcing myself to eat it so many times as a kid, which is like cold, slimy spaghetti that I did not want to get into.
Well, that doesn't sound terribly delicious.
No, and it's just like, oh, it's not my thing. And everybody, now that I'm adult, is like, well, you're going to try my pasta. It's going to be great. And I try it. I'm like, it's the same thing.
All right. That's
sorry, fair. Homies. Yeah. Same thing.
Okay.
It's better that way, though, because honestly, like, every time somebody tries to get me to try pasta, I'm like, I will eat literally everything else under the sun. I do not need another food on my list. I'm fine. Like, I will still, like, I'm
good
that person
yeah.
in the house, you know? I don't know if everybody has this, but generally, like, in the house, when somebody brings home snacks, there's a one person in that house that will eat all the snacks with no regret. That's me. Like, if the boyfriend brings home a tub of ice cream, if he does not hide it, I will eat it on him, and I tell him, it's your fault. I don't buy the stuff if I don't want to eat it, like, if I can't handle eating it all. I just don't have it in the house. I will eat it. I say, this is your fault for not hiding it.
Same thing. My self-control is poor still.
Mine's zero.
I'm poor. You're just a hard zero.
I'm just a zero. He knows. And like sometimes he's had chocolate cookies in the house and I've been wanting chocolate, but I couldn't find any. And like there have been some very tense WhatsApp conversations on the phone. Like, where are are they? Where are the cookies?
They're in here. Yeah. I can smell them. Yeah, I don't know where
they are. And I've like looked through all the kitchen. Sometimes I've looked in the garage. He's got a couple hiding places in our house that I don't know about yet. But sometimes I find them, and then because I found them, I go ham because I'm like, yeah.
Okay, so that's food talk. Everybody's crazy hungry right now.
Very much so.
Yep.
So to set that scene, a little thing we're going to jump into to go back a bit, and this week in Get Us Gossip, we want to try to highlight a story or two, that one that we talked about in the show, but we want to go a little bit longer form. So where are we headed today?
Well, there's a story this week about the Biebers. They're threatening to sue this plastic surgeon from Beverly Hills. He went viral on TikTok, and he's gone viral on TikTok because he'll take celebrities' photos, like an older picture and a newer picture, and he'll say, well, as a plastic surgeon, this is what I think they've had done, yada, yada, yada. The latest victim of his videos, Hailey Baldwin Bieber. And he's saying there's no way that her face could have went from point A to point B just simply through puberty. He's saying, with my expertise, she's had to have at least a nose job, maybe a, what they call like a lip, or sorry, a chin implant. It's very popular among celebrities now. So they're threatening to sue him if he doesn't take the video down and release an apology. And Justin Bieber's even getting on this, like protecting the wifey, saying like, you've used my music in the background, so you don't have the rights to this.
I like it.
Sneaky.
I like it. What a dangerous move. It just seems so cavalier of that surgeon. Like, you are a plastic surgeon in Hollywood. I would imagine if you don't have a couple of A-lists, then maybe you've got producers and others. Like, the trickle-down effect.
Yeah,
like
for sure.
The wife of the, or the husband. Oh, like
somebody connected, for
yeah,
sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Doesn't it seem like a really stupid move to start outing people? Because, well, some will talk about it. Others like to be very discreet. It's just like, she just doesn't age. He has always had a head of hair. Like, it's just, it's not a conversation that happens often.
Isn't it TMZ? Don't they do the, like, good genes or good docs sort of thing?
Yeah. And
like,
I'm so guilty for voting on that every time I'm scrolling. Yeah. I'm like, well, because I want to see what the people think. And it's, like, almost always good docs. And that's probably the case. Because, like, this is the problem, though, with TikTok, is that they're, like, there's a trend that always pops up called, like, nose job check. And you see, like, young kids getting nose jobs, and I don't care, like, do whatever makes you happy. But also at the same time, as somebody who, like, I always joke about my Polish nose and I'm fine with it, but after scrolling and seeing all of those on TikTok, I'm like, I hate that this app makes me feel like I want to get a nose job now after
because I'm a 12-year-old,
because right, like, it's just like I shouldn't be feeling that way. And once I shut off the app, it's just like, okay, I'm fine now. But you see, like, you scroll for 5 hours on this app and you see that's the trend. It's just like, what are, like, kids learning nowadays?
It scares me as a dad with a 13-year-old and a 9-year-old who I would say is more engaged online because she loves gaming and those kind of things. Now, maybe she doesn't fall down the vanity path. Some kids are into it and some don't, right? Mm-hmm. Like, some really care about their looks. My youngest is a hat backwards on. Like, she'll brush her hair out. She loves long hair, but she's always wearing a baseball cap backwards. Like, that's
love
her look.
It. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Where her sister will spend time. It's like, she's at 13. So now she'll, you know, she'll put on some face cream and she runs and steals some eyeliner and that kind of stuff. I don't want to say I push back, but it's to me, I still see I still see my young daughter.
Of course, yeah.
And it's a protection method, but it's like, I got to let her be her own person. So mom plays a little more of a role of what's acceptable. I don't understand makeup enough to go too much of one in that. And because I don't want to take that freedom and the creative and artistic approach to it. Because the biggest fear as a parent is to mess with your kid's psyche about how they feel about themselves.
Yeah. And I think the biggest example of that, though, is, like, you know, people say it, but the parents have to lead an example, and you have to say, like, you can't be trashing how you look in front of your kids because they're going to absorb that. But another thing is that I actually read this article with, and this is another TikTok thing, like a beauty thing, is that the way that women are starting to, like, kind of dress themselves and do makeup is slowly finally becoming for them. Because you know how many guys, like, back in the day would say, like, oh, I like the natural, like, girls who don't wear makeup. Meanwhile, it's just like girls who look like they're not wearing makeup but wearing a pound.
Right.
They're saying now, because of apps like TikTok, where people are getting really artistic with their makeup, which is something that I like to do every now and then too, they're saying that people are being encouraged to do that more. So girls are maybe growing up to wear makeup for themselves instead of, like, for what other people think they're going to look like.
As an outlet, like an artistic outlet or something like that. Yeah. Or a hobby.
Like, that's
why not?
Yeah. That's when I get into it, because, like, I'm so bad. I like painting, like, on an actual canvas.
Yeah.
But I never finish those paintings. But on your face, like, you want to go outside eventually. So it's like, you got to finish your artwork there.
Good call. I like that.
Like, yeah. What's average time for makeup? But is the, I guess there's a difference from like a gala or a wedding makeup, going out makeup, or running some errands makeup.
Yeah. Or rave makeup.
What's that?
Or rave makeup.
Oh my gosh, rave makeup. It's more about the time it takes to wash off than the time it takes to put on. Glitter everywhere forever for years. But you honestly, for me, I can go from 10 minutes to like an hour. And it all makes, and I've been putting on makeup, and this is the thing about your daughter getting started young.
Yeah.
Let her do it, because like, it's better for her to figure it out in the comfort of her own home than to be in public like I was, wearing way too much orange cover up and blue eyeshadow in public. But I used to put on makeup to go to the barn. Like, to go feed sheep.
Hey, live your truth, baby. And that's my thing. Like, with Reese, is like, I think you're beautiful as is because I'm your dad and I care so much about you. But it's got to be a you thing, because you're at that age. Like, you're a little person now.
Yeah.
Even at 9, in a way, you're a person, but you're still like, I need food. Like, but at 13, yeah, she can go make a grilled cheese, make herself a sandwich. Mm-hmm. She can cook a little bit. She knows how to make a pie. She wants to put some makeup on. I mean, get after it. You do you. Right. You've got to. I like it. You take a couple of swings in the old batting cage a little bit at home. And
yeah,
she's come down with a few. What do you think? And it's like, wow, that's beautiful. I don't know what else to say. Like, I'm whispering to her mom. And then I just follow the lead on that. But the fear for me is the day she comes home and says, I want a nose job, or I want this and I want that.
Right. Yeah.
It's, if you want to do it for your own reasons, great. But that's the thing, that where social media, that's the disappointing. Because why I enjoy social media is I love laughs. I love being engaged and entertained. And that is the, like, to me, that's the deep, dark garbage that exists on there, is how much of, like, it's like, wow, you're made so much of plastic. And that gets pushed out. Now, maybe you've done that because that's the look you want. Fine. But the trouble is, 12 years old, they don't understand the reasons why you did that.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they want to rush to that versus growing a little bit, and 12 and 16 and 18 and 20, very different people during that life cycle.
But I even think 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, people are still susceptible to that sometimes, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
It's a smaller portion, I think, than when you're in your tweens, where you're a lot more, what's the word? Like, you're more
impressionable,
yeah, persuaded and that sort of thing. Yeah, exactly. But I know plenty of adults who still follow Instagram for that sort of stuff. And like, they'll actually, like, they want to do their own work to themselves and based on social media.
Okay.
Yeah.
Their own thoughts.
So here's a question you both can answer. Is there ever a time you think as an adult or a person where you're like, I'm fine with how I look. I have no outside influence. I'm totally okay with me. Like, does that exist? Does it happen at a certain age? Does it just certain people are born that way, where they're just so secure and self-confident they don't give a crap what anybody else thinks?
I don't think that's ever a thing. I don't think you're ever completely like that. I think it goes in waves. Like, right now, I'm like, if you have a problem with anything on me, like, go fly a kite. I don't care. That's your problem.
Yeah.
But, you know, then you end up on this scroll thing, and then you think, like, well, like, I think it's just a matter of repetitiveness. Like, you see the same face, and I notice this whenever I travel. Canadians, who you can tell the stereotypical Canadian plastic surgery look, because it's long, dark hair, it's big lips, and it's a small nose. And I'm not trashing that look, because I actually think it's very pretty on a lot of people. But it's also, you see that on every single Instagram page. And the more you see that, it's like, you know how people are, like, finally getting Barbies with different skin tones?
Yeah.
And, you know, a Barbie that's a mechanic that doesn't just wear high heels. Well, where's the Barbie with the bumpy nose? You know, it's just like, people don't have anything to identify with. And when you see that on Instagram, it's just like, it's everywhere.
I did see, because Barbie has a line of, like, jobs, like you say, like there's mechanic Barbie. There's one that runs a hot dog cart. So they can do that.
Yes.
You're right. No, if you've got a hot dog cart, maybe you want to have a nose. Like, maybe you want to have a wonky eye. Maybe you've got one bigger ear.
Yeah.
Like, exactly.
I showed Benny. I was like, look, depending on the angle, it looks like I don't have ears.
Yeah.
But it's otherwise, they're there. But if I'm straight shot on with with the camera with a certain lens, I look like I don't have ears.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
I'm like the opposite of you, because you know what they say, actually, speaking of noses and ears, you're like, this is an art class thing. Your ears are the same length as your nose.
My ears are huge. So is my nose.
Yeah.
I got a big German nose.
Yeah. You got to match. Yeah. But so if you were to take, like, your fingers and, like, just kind of go across your face, your ears and your nose are the same length.
Crazy.
And both of them keep growing until you die.
Oh, yeah.
Just a fun fact.
Oh, man, you're pretty much bang on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My nose is a little smaller. Hopefully it stays that way.
And the tip of your nose lines up with the corner of your eyes, like the width. That's another drawing thing.
Huh.
And that's what plastic surgeons actually use if you want to get work done. They kind of like, they line it up based on all these angles and stuff. And they say, and even your eyebrow lady, she'll line it up based on your, like, the cornea of your eye. And that's where your arch should be. It, like, goes from the corner of your mouth to the corner of your eye to the
crazy
of your eyebrow. There's a lot of math involved in aesthetics, and that's why.
Well, that is interesting because
I
out
take
there,
10 minutes to get ready.
It's crazy how symmetry makes such a big deal. Like, we're talking off the air about a really crappy artist that we play here on the stage, yeah. And how, like, this person is not like traditionally attractive, but people find this individual attractive because of symmetry, right? Like,
yeah.
That's fascinating to me.
Oh, it is. It goes all the way back, just the evolution of humans. You're like, really? Like, we were that, and now we are like this. And what are we now? That's the thought. Now, this is like a crazy, I've taken some drugs kind of thought. But there's been the conversation too of how, if you said to somebody, draw an alien, what are they going to do? Big head,
big bulbous head, yeah.
Eyes, body. Small body. Yeah. But is that what we evolve into 1 million years from now? 100,000 years from now? 10,000 years from now, even if we still exist?
I don't know. Do aliens have texting thumbs in that in those pictures?
Well, we've seen those photos, right? Yeah, where the shoulders are arching, yeah, the super big neck, how the evolution of our hands, our fingers are going to be longer.
No.
Oh, I've seen that. Have you seen that?
Yeah, and I forgot about that. Now I'm now I just feel like I need to sit up straighter. Like,
oh, my shoulder, I'm screwed.
What is it, like the bird beaks or whatever that are coming out of the back of your neck? Yeah.
Was there talk of a tail, too?
We used to have tails.
Yeah.
Maybe that makes a comeback. That'd be pretty kick-ass.
Cool.
It'd be like, are you happy to see me? And you just see a tail wag?
Yeah, that would honestly.
It was like a dog.
Tails would be really fun.
You walk into the kitchen and you like just whisper, hey, you want to get at it later? And then tail wag. At the stove cooking, you see
look
a little
tail on that one.
Yeah. Or you've got like a Doberman, a little nub, just. But it with Hollywood and what it's a slippery slope, and that I'd be curious to see if that actually goes, or with the Bieber lawsuit, is it just a cease and desist and you don't talk about her anymore and let it be? Or they're like, we're going to prove a point here. We're going to sue you. The money is irrelevant. It's just out of principle to get you to shut the hell up.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if they go through with it, if he doesn't take it down, because let's say he doesn't take it down and they decide not to sue him. I would say that's a guarantee that she did actually get work done and she can't prove it otherwise in court.
Oh, true.
Right.
But I think there's still a leg to stand on. I've got a friend who's licensed in the U.S. should have been able to get him on just to talk in libel and that kind of stuff, because you could say she has a brand. It's not to Justin's stature and level, but I mean, she's modeled. She's got a brand for herself.
I like her.
There is something that it's like you could potentially impact based on the stigma that's around her that she wanted to keep quiet.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess from a medical perspective, too, like, you shouldn't go be talking about surgeries that other people had.
But that's what I'm wondering. So, like we said, he does seem a little sensational, like, if he's doing it before and after, and, like, this is what they've done. But as a medical professional, I mean, I don't think that he would slander or libel or whatever the version that he's doing, just because if he has that knowledge and he's saying there's no physical way that this is done, like, I have to sort of believe him a little bit. I don't know. Maybe he's like Dr. Nick from The Simpsons. I don't know if he's actually legit or not.
He's got a spot in the strip mall.
Yeah, exactly. In a basement somewhere. Yeah, I don't know for sure. But that does seem ballsy for him to make those claims without official documentation or anything like
that. What's surprising is it doesn't happen, or we don't hear about it more often. Because if you look at all those tabloids, the grocery store or a variety store, every cover is a claim of something about someone's appearance or weight loss or something like that. That's what I don't understand is, like, really, like, how would they not get sued every time they put a new issue out? Whether a pregnancy claim, it's all procedures done, they've got their tummy tuck, they got the stomach stapling, all those things.
Or even like divorces or cheating scandals or all this sort of stuff. Like, I
don't know why that doctor, who probably makes oodles and oodles of money.
Yeah.
What, like, he clearly wants more fame.
Wants
and that,
fame,
it's
like,
holy.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one, too, because sometimes celebrities will sue over those types of tabloids. Like, you know, the British ones and the royals are suing them for publishing that Thomas Markle article. But there are sometimes in the States, people will sue over those articles. Mm-hmm. But I think because everybody already knows they're just trash and outlandish, they kind of bat an eye. And they've been around for so long, right? They were around since before celebrities had any fight against paparazzi. Like, true, it was only a few years ago that they finally made laws saying you can't take pictures of children.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that's why. And also, TikTok's like a new beast, and all these celebrities are trying to monetize TikTok. So I think they cannot have a brand issue on the world's most popular app right now.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm. You're a deep thinker. That was good.
I spend too much time on TikTok.
Yeah, got it all figured out.
I know
out.
You've infected me. And are you into it yet, Benny? Have you done?
No, no, not really. I keep seeing things that have no relevancy to me at all, and I don't know how to work to get the right.
But
stuff.
I don't do a lot in it. I'm just a scroll. Funny. Okay, forward that to a few people I know. Funny. Scroll.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to actually get my Instagram feed the way I like it, so I can scroll and be interested on almost everything I see. Whereas, like on this one, I just got there on Instagram. It's going to take me 3 years to get this on TikTok.
My issue is I started like and follows, comment. Okay, I'll follow you. It's so full of everything. It was 6,800 or something. It's just so full. It's so full of just odd and randomness. Mm. It's not a pleasurable experience.
On Insta.
Yeah, for me on Insta. Yeah, I have little to no followers on TikTok because right now that's not my game. We'll put our energies into the Virgin Radio account so they can see it, or you can check out Laura's because she's been ahead of the game on that. But we've talked about it. I'm like, I'm old. I shouldn't be on TikTok. And you're like, no.
It's for old people now.
We're taking it away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just burnt out on being on my phone all the time, I think.
There's too. That.
Yeah, TikTok will enforce that. Yeah. Like, it will make sure that you feel burnt out by it. Because you get stuck on scrolling. I was actually doing like a radio thing at a business a few months ago. And we were talking about TikTok. We were trying to make a TikTok while we were there. And the girl that worked there was like, I had such a TikTok addiction that I realized I need to delete the app from my phone because she said she sat in bed all day scrolling TikTok, and the only time she got up was to go to the washroom or get food, and she went back like to her bed scrolling TikTok.
I don't find other people that interesting. I don't know how I could give that much time into that. Wow.
Bang on, pal. Yeah. Bang on. For me, it's like I want some aviation things, what's local, pop culture, funny, curious. I find it hilarious some people like, oh, you see, like, oh, they should definitely not be doing, oh, they're going to do this. And then they end up getting hurt. I don't like broken bones. I don't like blood or anything like that. I just like, you know, ding my head up a little bit or fell off a picnic table. Like, mild. Mm-hmm. Mild.
America's Funniest Videos.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah, because I grew up on it. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Not sick and twisted in any way, shape, or form. But Insta right now pacifies me. My concern is I'll get really into TikTok. And, well, Laura's seen a few days where I was like, what? What'd you say?
It's like, good.
Right. Shut my brain down. Yeah. It's a dangerous move.
It is crack for your mind.
Oh, well, sorry, put. It's on.
Benny.
Oh, Dirty Jokes with My Mom, part 33.
It's
really?
Good. Is it, what's the kid? I was going to say, what's the kid's name? Because he's pretty funny. And some of them.
Well, you know. Jeff, you are hooked.
Drake.
Yep. Drake said the jokes with Mom. And his dad's in the background laughing.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness!
There's a lot. It's a dangerous.
There are professional
one.
Comedians on Netflix that I would watch.
Yeah, as that is very true.
Trying
very
to embarrass
true.
His mom. Yeah,
but
yeah.
I think that's why TikTok is so cool, though, is because it gives regular people a chance to have that shot. It's not all fake like Instagram is. It's just real people doing funny.
But they're
stuff.
Still trying to be celebrities, though, right? Like, yes. Everybody on TikTok is still trying to get paid somehow. Yeah.
I want to be instant famous, not Insta, but instant famous.
Instant famous. Mm-hmm.
I remember Twitter when it was just a wicked self-curated news and update feed, and you'd get some breaking information and your favorite artist or celebrity would drop a little nugget of information on a new project. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Now it's like digital flyers in your mailbox on Saturday morning that sat in the rain. There's nothing.
Oh.
You're picking the pages apart. It's all schlock and garbage. It's
And trolls. So the people on Twitter are terrible.
The cancel me culture, that like it lives on Twitter. That's where it lives.
We do not have the time in this podcast to get on the cancel me culture.
We don't need to step into that. We've talked delicious things and we'll end there. So there it is. We'll keep you up to date on the new TV show. Maybe it comes to Crave. We got to pitch it. Do we get paid
for
that?
Yeah, how do you pitch a TV show? Benny, you went to film school. Do you know how to do this?
Yes, I do.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Oh, we're going to make it happen.
Good.
Okay, go back. Celebrities.
Can we get paid?
No, probably not.
They don't. Crave doesn't pay you to do a show.
I don't think they would pay us because we are a member of the family.
What if could we go get ourselves some sponsors?
I think.
Ooh, that's how they get paid.
Damn it.
Yeah.
All right. We'll work on those ideas. Thank you, as always, for checking out the podcast. Just so pumped that Laura's here and you're going to know her more and love her, and we're going to have a blast. So thanks, as always, for checking it out, and enjoy weekly show highlights, and we'll chat soon, friends.
DJ.
Let's go.
97.5 Virgin Radio.
And we now have something official. We have the male equivalent of Karen. So it was narrowed down. We ended up with four. It was Richard, Brad, Kevin, and Todd. And after all the results, and so we had social media on the go. Mm-hmm. We had the text platform. Even some phone calls coming in, too. Ladies and gentlemen, our male Karen is... Our male Karen is...
Todd!
Yeah, it's definitely Todd.
It's a Todd.
Because what you need to do for those that are like, I don't see or hear Todd, just say it to yourself a few times over the course of a couple of minutes.
Let's saturate.
Create a few scenarios in your mind and you'll go, oh, that's definitely a Todd thing.
Just say it out loud. Todd.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just feels good.
We tried to write a little piece to identify Todd. So we want everyone to meet Todd. Todd is a man and everyone needs to know it. You'll often see him driving his GMC Acadia around town, just begging for people to pay attention to it. He got that extra glossy blue paint on it. Sometimes Todd pulls his boat. He mostly just drives it into work with the boat attached to because he wants to impress the guys who secretly none can stand him. He loves to rip through yellow and red lights. Todd, he even laughs about it too.
Oh,
like, oh, got that one. He has four red light tickets though that he does not talk about. His sons, named Josh, Hayden, and Brett.
Huh? Oh.
The next generation of Todd.
Yeah.
That's right. They all play hockey year-round since they were six. They're all burnt out, and Todd won't have it, because Todd is going to be an NHL dad.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Todd's got big dreams, eh?
Yeah. big dreams. He's a guy who talks so loud you can hear him from the other side of Kelsey's, and he is the guy that when you walk into the front reception area, he's not only loud talker, but he's loud and flirty talker, even with his family with him.
Oh, the worst.
That's Todd.
And when he's inside, so he takes his wraparound Oakleys off and puts them on the back of his neck when he's talking.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Favorite football team? Buffalo Bills. Why? Well, he only drove through Buffalo once on his way to a work conference in Syracuse, so now he's a diehard Bills fan. And he constantly complains about millennials, but really, that could be anyone.
You know what? Todd, game on.
That's Todd. So now when we have a male doing some silly, crazy things, we call him Todd. People have spoken. You've been heard. Are you okay with it? Like, you're comfortable with Todd? I know there was...
I actually had a Todd hit on me at Tim Hortons in the en route the other day.
Come on.
Yeah. Todd insisted that I give the extra Timbits he was gifting me to a cat without ever talking about any cats. So I can see Todd.
Oh,
how
Todd
odd. Yeah.
Todd. Ooh,
it's pretty odd, Todd. Yeah.
That sounds like restraining order Todd right there.
Turn it up, turn it loud. 97.5 Virgin Radio.
You've had a few minutes to plug in some data on my natal chart.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like a full, like if you were doing a blood test, this wouldn't be a pinprick. This would be they take like four vials and they do a deep dive.
They cut your arm off.
Close, but not quite. Yeah. In between that and the pinprick.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right, kind of in the middle. So Laura basically identified and nailed Benny in four, maybe five paragraphs. Like it was quick. Boom, 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 yeah. Done. And that summed Benny up almost to a T.
Stunningly accurate.
100%. And I completely was in agreement of all those things. So I was able to get Laura my birth time, which was 12:50 a.m. this morning. So let's see what you could pull up and find out if this is in fact... And Ben can agree or disagree if this is a good makeup of me.
Okay, so in case you missed it, Jeff, today it's his birthday. He is Gemini on the outside, a Taurus on the inside, because that's Jeff's moon sign. So here we go. Solar Geminis are flexible and changeable people. Their ability to adapt quickly to new situations generally gains them plenty of friends and social contacts.
No, I'm kidding.
I was like, no!
That's a bell for sure.
Oh, that's a bell? Okay.
I don't know about new friends.
Contacts, yes.
Contacts, yeah.
Acquaintances. Yeah.
All right, all right. Usually quite clever and witty, Geminis enjoy intellectual conversations. They are easily bored if they're not getting enough mental stimulation.
Yeah, that'd be me.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. He has lots of vitality. He likes public life. He is popular and his company is appreciated. He is a balanced, at ease with himself and usually gets on very well with his parents or guardians.
Uh-oh. There's like a mix there.
I know.
Some is very accurate.
I know.
Some is
today, yeah. Today, all of those things I would say are accurate, but there have been pockets where those have dipped.
True.
Or not been applicable for various circumstances.
Right.
But that's pretty good.
Hmm.
That is accurate. I mean, overall, that's a pretty accurate
stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I like the job. I like being
social.
The stuff that comes with it. But yeah.
Okay. Do you want to hear the deep one?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
You want to be considered an accomplished and important person. And when you face obstacles, you don't always see that you are your own worst enemy. Hey. Hmm? He doesn't want to admit it.
No.
That's how you can tell you're a Taurus on the inside.
Well, because the old, like, you are your own worst critic, I think, is something that, or imposter syndrome, too. I will often have that.
I think everybody in radio has imposter syndrome.
You're driving to work one day. Do they know? Like, do they listen? Do they
know? When are they going to find out?
Are they sure? So for all that are messaging, we'll set you up. Laura is messaging everybody back, so they know.
All of you.
Yeah, you can, you can get after it. If from everything that we've talked about in COVID-19, this has had the biggest impact in regards to interaction from people.
Sure has.
It's fine. If you're just looking for how's your year going to play out, 2020 is an odd one. But the nice thing in some of these, they're aiming already into 2021 now. So you've got a lot to look forward to. We'll get you looked after.
It's just one template for the rest of 2020 for everybody.
Yeah, pretty much.
Turn up the music. I can hear it now. 97.5 Virgin Radio.
As if we didn't need something else to worry about. I don't think worry is the right term on this either. So we've got, you know, the global pandemic thing that we're dealing with. Also, murder hornets. That was the thing of about 6 weeks ago. And millions of 17-year cicadas, they are set to emerge from the ground over the course of the summer. This is, in some areas now, it is going to be worse. Yeah, that's the noise. Where you're like, is that a squirrel or a chipmunk?
So loud. It's like what very hot weather sounds like.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That's exactly it. You'll often hear this, right, when you're on vacation somewhere down in the sunny south. But here's the play. As many as 1.5 million cicadas per acre may emerge, and people living in Southwest Virginia, parts of North Carolina, West Virginia, they're going to witness that phenomenon. Now, here, it's just going to be a spike. The numbers are higher, but still not the insanity that we'll see the videos. Like, it'll pop up in socials.
It'll be deafening, yeah.
Yeah, and it'll be like, it's the end of time. And maybe in some spots of the U.S. it will be. But this is a real thing.
So to acclimate people, should I just keep this sound on for the rest of the show then? Like behind the music and everything?
Yeah.
Keep that going.
Get us gossip. Yeah. Everything we do on the show.
Okay.
Just that way when it does happen this summer, it's old hat.
Be tempered to it.
Yeah, exactly. So the nice thing about cicadas, for those that don't know much, that they're harmless to humans. It's this. It's the noise.
Oh my goodness.
They are, however, a danger to orchids, vines, and trees because their egg-laying habits are a little wonky.
Well, that is upsetting to me because orchids are a danger to themselves. They are like the hardest plant to keep alive.
Yeah, that's true. They've got everything against them.
You know what? I'm just going to throw mine out.
Yeah.
Why bother even trying?
No, I give up.
Yeah.
Another moment of green thumbs with Laura Geddes coming up.
DJ.
Let's go.
97.5 Virgin Radio.
This is potentially a massive breakthrough in research. We're trying, as many countries, to figure out how to help with COVID-19 straight to the vaccine, or is there something we can do to assist the immune system, help with antibodies? There's just a lot to dig into. A team of Canadian scientists, they believe they've found that strong strains of cannabis that could help or prevent or treat corona infections. This according to their study. Now, it is yet to be peer-reviewed, so it still needs to kind of get attacked from all angles, a 360-degree view of it all. But this is a big start. So what it's finding, it's out of the University of Lethbridge. They started this in April. It showed that at least 13 cannabis plants that were high in CBD appeared to affect a certain pathway that COVID-19 uses to access the body. So basically, it's like a little wall of protection.
Oh.
It's like there's a shield. You can't get around. You can't. It's like defense. Good basketball. It's like hand to the face. You can't get around me. So this is big. This is big. This is, you know, they're going down the pharma train, right? All the different drugs. Maybe this will work. Okay, Trump, mm-hmm. You just don't take it anything. But this is huge. And the fact that it's readily available, easy to produce. The cost would be something that is somewhat digestible by a lot of countries. Like, it's not that expensive to make it this way. But they were stunned at first, they say, and then they were really happy.
Yeah, all right.
And then they laughed for 40 minutes. Well, this is huge.
Man, this is great, but I want to know, where do you get on the list to be a part of these studies?
There's
hands up, like, yeah. Infect me with the COVID. I don't care.
I mean, there's other ways to get weed if you want it. Without that, I mean, that's a big step.
I know, but then you could say I'm part of research, you know?
That's
that
true.
Way,
totally.
That way I could, like, the weeds, I could be all up in its grill without my father, Donald, being like, what did you do? He doesn't care if it's legal.
It's for the greater good of all people here on planet Earth, Dad.
Making a sacrifice for humanity. Yes.
Absolutely, but this is huge. They're saying it could have a huge influence. There aren't many drugs that have the potential of reducing infection by 70 to 80%. So people with compromised immune systems, there are people that are into the cannabis world because of various treatments like chemotherapy and cancer, things like that. They can't do the pharma thing because they're too ill because of it. This could be huge. I'm on board. Same with Laura.
Yeah.
As long as they've got, like, the blood bank, they've got cans of Coke and cookies when you're all done.
Very important.
Turn up the music. I can hear it now. 97.5 Virgin Radio.
I did not know that.
Here's some numbers for you. We've talked a lot of numbers surrounding COVID-19 from just, like, go down the list. The average person is buying 84 rolls of toilet paper. Like, we've talked a lot of numbers when it comes to COVID-19. Here's some ones that'll shake you. A registered nurse from Cambridge has tested positive for COVID-19 on her 10th swab. She's had the virus since the end of March.
Holy.
I feel for her, man. That would suck.
Yes, it would.
8 weeks later, when she received her latest positive result, she says she's not upset. She's like, I'm kind of getting used to it. So clearly, she's not in a hospital. She's not hooked up.
She's asymptomatic, mostly?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, she just doesn't feel amazing. She's feeling a little ill. There's more. Then a long-term care worker in Elmira was talking to CTV Kitchener. She tested positive April 22nd and has done 7 positive tests since then.
Oh, my goodness. Is that a regional thing? What's going on?
Yikes.
Not really, because a woman in Sarnia, she's been testing positive for now 55 days. So
that's almost like the beginning.
Yeah, I think they just don't know. They just don't.
Oh, no.
Everyone is still learning so much about COVID-19 and how it acts and reacts in the body. We've seen numbers too where, trying to not to completely guess on it, but one was about just the age gap and about 60 to 65 plus is the vast majority of those, and compromised immune systems or underlying health conditions, like that we do know. But then you're seeing randoms like this, and there was an Olympic swimmer out of Australia, crazy fit, super healthy, and hooked up to, like, close to the brink of death, and then was able to come back, but said,
my goodness,
I can't explain how terrible this was. So it just seems in a way so random. Well, it's not, again, as you're seeing those that are more vulnerable are more susceptible, but the randos, like that. 55 days, 10 tests later, like, what are you doing?
That is just, I mean, she must be used to the nose swab the same way Chrissy Teigen is now. Probably just giggles her way through it.
Yeah, I would imagine so. But this is insane. So, and then there was another woman that, after 55 days, she was given the all clear because the 11th swab. It's like, what is going on?
Because you have to test, you have to not have coronavirus, 2 tests within 24 hours.
Right.
Right. 11th time is the charm, I guess. Who knew?
Oh, my goodness.
I would hope that they've taken some vials of blood to see about the antibodies and, like, how's her body protecting her? What is it doing? Will that help expedite some sort of vaccine or something in between, in a pill form, liquid form? I don't know, but this is insane. Because, like, Tom Hanks and Rita, when they came out of quarantine, they donated some blood so they could figure out
the plasma
cigarette. What the hell are we doing here?
Uh-huh. But
why is this not going on in London? How have we not heard about this in London?
Yeah.
apparently.
Who knows, there's something in the water?
Yeah, kitchen. Well, maybe. Well,
the Thames.
Yeah. DJ.
Let's go.
97.5 Virgin Radio.
We're in the conversation about, as an adult, foods you still despise, because some new information out, but not really new. But basically, the hatred for certain foods, it was 100% created in your childhood. Usually with the, you're not leaving the table until you clear your plate, and other various reasons, but that was the one that really stood out. They don't love the reward system to say, eat this and then you'll get this. The best is, as many people will say, try it. If you don't like it, that's all you need to eat. That is still the clear, straight path to kind of prevent any sort of food issues along the way. We've had some interesting submissions. So this isn't the easiest. Which one do you want to start with, Laura?
You know what? Lay it on me. I'm ready for all of them because this is my skill in life.
So like liver. Liver's not the easiest thing to kind of make delicious if you've already got in your mind. Like, I'm not eating liver.
No, it doesn't sound like a good thing. I mean, no. It's the organ in your body that takes all the toxins. Like, it doesn't sound like a good time. But have you had pate? I do not agree with how it's made.
Uh-huh.
But I will say I did try it before I knew how it was made. And it is delicious. Get a little cracker with that. It's like a little liver dip.
Yeah, make yourself a nice little cheese board. You want to get in the charcuterie world. There it is.
Oh, and that will impress your guests because it's so expensive. They're going to be like, pate.
Someone talked about a pork roast. And that's, and Benny with his butcher skills kind of in this too. Of mom, basically, they said, my mom used to make a pork roast all the time growing up. Tasted like dirt.
Yeah, well, that's probably the stuff she's putting on it. It's hard because it dries out so easily because it's such a lean, generally very lean.
Yeah. But there are options for this.
Oh, there are. You can have pressure cooker pulled pork in like 30 minutes.
Now, I like using the champagne of beers. We pour in like a single beer in there.
Yeah.
But Penny has another power move for that.
The root beer.
Oh. Yeah,
root beer barbecue sauce. That's pretty much all you need for pulled pork. It's wonderful.
Yeah. 4 hours in there. Sometimes a six. Real slow and slow. Mm-hmm. What peas. Peas are hard, though, because they're just an add-on to usually a main.
Yeah. Well, here's one thing about peas. You need to get the canned peas over the frozen ones. The frozen ones are just, like, sad looking. They got weird dimples in them. They're not cute.
Yeah. And then the skin falls off, too, if you overboil them a touch.
Yeah. And frozen peas are almost rubbery.
Yes.
They're gross. Yeah. Canned peas are nice and mushy, which is not a great selling point. But you could blend those and make soup, hands down.
Oh, yeah.
Or you can make some kind of pea sauce. Or, pro tip, this girl likes to lift. I have pea protein powder as well. Very good. It's a vegan protein powder.
Really?
You can use it in like baking. You can use it in eggs. It's kind of more of it's a very earthy flavor.
Well, the big miss too, I've had chicken pot pie with people and they don't put peas in them. Like, that's a miss.
You had a huge must.
It has to be in there. I don't know what you do with olives. Like, I think you're either in or out.
Got it. Vodka.
Uh-huh.
Vermouth.
Yes.
And olives. Boom.
This went from cooking with Laura to drinking with Ben.
Music. Every day. Yeah. 97.5 Virgin Radio.